Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think we're alone now because my co-host isn't here and I'm flying solo. Welcome back to Soul Sisters, guys. This is Jessie Katz coming at you from the Billboard offices today, where we recorded a very special episode with 80s teen icon Tiffany. Yes, the Tiffany. If you were born before 1990, you definitely know who I'm talking about. If you weren't, look up her biggest songs like I Think We're Alone Now or Could Have Been, and you'll realize actually you do know exactly who I'm talking about. This woman actually invented the mall tour. She is an icon. So she stopped by to tell us about the insane experience of being an 80s heartthrob and about her new album that just came out called A Million Miles. So let's do it. Let's listen to today's episode with Tiffany on Soul Sisters.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about. If there's anything on your mind you'd like to get out there.
Oh, there's always something on my mind.
What's the main thing on your mind these days? What's the thing that like gets you in your gut when you wake up in the morning? In a good way or a stressful way?
Well, trying to be normal.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to work on that. You know, I mean, because I'm a multitasker.
Yeah.
I'm very, like, a go-getter, you know. Let's see how much I can put on my plate that day. I don't mean to do it, but I think it's like all women. It just ends up happening. You're like, yeah, sure, I can meet you here. Sure, I could do yoga. Oh, I've got to clean my house. And then I've got to return a million emails. And because right now I'm kind of doing a lot of different hats. I manage my own management company with partners. But, you know, after being 30 years in the industry, I kind of know what it is I want to achieve. And I've had managers over the past. And, you know, it always ends up me really saying, okay, well, these are my dreams and hopes and things anyway. And, you know, I mean, it ended up that I was kind of co-managing. So I thought, well, why don't I just actually be, have my own management company and then bring in some partners that I really know that have been there for me for, you know, many, many years. And, you know,
Has anyone been with you from the very beginning that's still with you now?
Not from the very beginning. No. Like one of my agents has known me since I was 15 and he's back in my life now. And working on my behalf. And so, you know, I have a lot of people who have been there at least 20 years though. So
That's no small thing.
You know, they'll tell me if I'm headed down the wrong road for sure. And we sit and discuss it.
What does that look like for you? What's the wrong road?
You know, it's never really music. It's always about, like, my hair, wanting to change my hair or something. They're like, girl, you have to stay red. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to put, like, some purple bits or something. Okay, you're not going to put too much. Because, and then they, like, shoot me pictures on my cell phone. Okay, this was stunning. This was not. This was, like, and I'm like, really? Is it? It's going to be like that today.
That's some micromanaging, maybe.
This was a moment that I wanted to have, okay?
Are you managing other artists as well?
No, I mean, eventually, maybe later on as like a retirement thing. But I'm still rocking what I do, you know? I mean,
yeah, you're keeping yourself busy.
I'm out there keeping myself busy. So throughout the day, I mean, like I said, with wearing all these different hats, it's really important to breathe and like take a moment and make sure that you're not like, you know, trying your best to over-obligate and say yes to things in the heat of everything, and then you look at your schedule at the end of the week and you're like, I don't do any of this, you know? I just want to go back to bed. So, you know, I mean, I do try to take little, you know, little gaps throughout the day where I just kind of, you know, disappear for 15, 20 minutes or something. Yeah. It's easier at home.
Yeah, for
sure.
Because
I go on my back patio and
where is
I turn
home is
on
this?
Nashville. Okay. So, and I have 8.5 acres out in the country.
Oh, nice.
And I walk outside and I have my little green tea and I go, okay, isn't this great? It's just nature and it's beautiful and I'm grateful. And then I can go back in and do whatever, you know, you need to do. I mean, I think for a performer's life or so many people's lives, but with the music industry, you might have a plan and then you wake up that day and everything changes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can be in Kentucky by the end of the day, you know. It's like, you know, sometimes you just have to seize those moments. Mm-hmm. And you plan things and they don't work out the way that you thought they were going to work out, or they're even bigger than you thought it was going to be, and so you have to rise to that occasion. I mean, it's a fun world. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
So you have this new album out.
I do.
So this is a particularly busy moment for you, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That you chose for yourself.
Yes.
When did the planning of this album begin?
We started really planning probably about October.
Okay.
And we went into the studio and started writing in December.
Okay.
And we had it out by
fast.
The end of March.
Right?
Yeah, I just don't like to, like, take a long time to do an album, uh-huh. especially being in Nashville and then coming to New York and coming to LA mm-hmm. and writing with people that I had, you know, my list of co-writes that I wanted to achieve.
Uh-huh.
And then I knew a lot of the topics I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
And the melodies kind of came to me a little bit, mm-hmm. And some of the titles. So we were off and running.
Okay.
A lot. And I knew I wanted to do an album that was ballad heavy.
Uh-huh.
It's been a lot of years since I've really committed to just singing, which sounds ridiculous, but...
Yeah, what does that mean exactly?
Well, I think for a lot of you, you know, I did like the whole, I think we're alone now, could have been, mm-hmm. I saw him standing there all this time. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, we got really ballad heavy.
Right, okay.
So, and which was great because, you know, definitely at 16, 17, I wanted to show that I could sing.
Yeah.
But for a show, it was like, okay, snooze fest, you know?
Yeah, that's a hard balance to pull off, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think I probably, you know, I love ballads. I'm very melancholy and I love all of that. And it could show that I could sing. But I think it was probably a little too much too soon because uh-huh. my audience really just wanted to dance and have a good time.
Yeah.
And we ended up really having a hard time. So I think that kind of scared me a little bit that,
yeah.
you know, everything has to be up tempo,
uh-huh.
you know? So I've done some dance stuff.
Right.
And then I've done some like, you know, up tempo kind of rock stuff. And I just really wanted to live there.
Okay.
And also as a vocalist, it's no pressure. I'm
right.
like, guitar solo, I'll be
take
over
it away.
Here. You know, and I could stay up late with the band and I could, you know, do my thing.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have to be as disciplined as a vocalist.
Right.
But now at 44 and, you know, just being out on the road and people still going, oh, you could really sing. I just need to get to it. You know?
Yeah.
How is it that people just don't know that I can really sing? And then, you know, again, some of the topics on this album are about my life and, you know, things that have happened in the last 5 years
mm-hmm.
With, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people passing away,
mm.
a lot of change.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very deep-rooted songs.
Okay.
And it just sounded right to have them either slow, you know, mid-tempo or a ballad.
Right.
So I went in there going, I'm going to co-produce. I kind of want strings and violins. Yeah. And so it's been great. I mean, you know, I've always been behind the scenes a little bit, kind of designating what I want, but I never mm-hmm. felt comfortable taking a title.
Okay.
And on this one, I came in and saying, I'm ready.
Uh-huh.
I really am. I definitely have a vision. I don't speak your language because I don't play an instrument. I badly play piano.
Okay.
It's terrible.
But
it's
like,
just
did
enough
you take
to...
lessons when you were little? Or?
I've taken lessons many times.
Yes. Something you return to periodically and then
I can't. I,
get down
I'm
on
so
yourself
terrible that I'm like, ooh, no. You know, I open up my voice and my mouth and my voice comes out.
Yeah.
And then I don't really have to, you know, struggle with it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's things that, you know, vocally I want to achieve or whatever. I have to practice a little
okay.
bit. But it's just there.
Yeah.
With playing a piano, it's like, dang,
whole
dang.
Story.
And I'm like, ooh, that doesn't sound good. Ooh, that's really loud. My poor neighbors. You know, so it's that commitment.
Yeah.
to really practice and to have the time to do it. And I go in spurts.
Yeah.
So now I just know enough to really write.
Right.
And talk shop as a writer.
Uh-huh.
But to really take it to the performance level, I'm so not ready
not
yet.
Not there yet.
I chicken out every time. Yeah.
You need another million miles. And then you'll
I
get
do.
There. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm going to be, we're going to the UK, so I'll be with my musicians for a month, and there'll be a lot of downtime.
Okay.
So I think that's another thing. Also, being with the band when you're out on the road or in a bus or just kind of living that every day, it just kind of comes more natural in a weird way.
Yeah.
Because you do, you know, kind of tinker on keyboards or on a guitar. And there's so much, again, downtime that, and music is around you 24/7.
Yeah.
So it just becomes, you know, easier.
Right.
And that's how I started off, literally, you know, when I was 15, 16. I was just like, I want to play guitar. And I'm not good at guitar. Like, it hurts my fingers, and I don't want to have bad nails, and so I'm not committed.
Right.
But piano, you know, I'm very committed to one day being able to sit down and accompany myself.
Okay.
That's my goal.
That's another thing to add to the list.
That is, yes.
Did you ever study voice, or was that just totally
natural
for
really.
You?
Not really. It was totally natural for me.
Like, when did music start for you?
I started professionally singing when I was 9.
Okay. In what capacity?
Well, my parents, no one in my family was in the industry at all. And at 2, I was running around the house constantly singing, learning songs, just absorbing things. And
was there a lot of music played in your house?
There was a lot of music played. My parents always had dinner parties.
Okay.
And I was a pageant girl.
Oh, yeah.
So I was always on stage.
Okay.
And then I became a dancer.
Uh-huh.
So I was always a big ham. You know, I wasn't afraid to be in front of a crowd.
Right. So that's all you remember is being a performer.
Pretty much.
Basically.
Pretty much. And no one forced me to do it. I just really liked doing it.
Yeah.
You know, at the supermarket, someone said to my mom, she's really cute. She should be in pictures, and she should do some modeling. And then that led to pageants.
Okay.
And my mom was like, do you want to do this? And she was a single mom at the time. And it was something fun for us to do together.
Yeah.
And she would make all my costumes
really?
And curl my hair. And then by the time I was like 6 or 7, probably about 8 actually, I became a tomboy.
Okay.
So that whole thing,
that
was I
was
like,
that.
Stop with the curlers and having to, you know, sleep with curlers in your hair. And and then my mom got married when I was remarried when I was 9.
Uh-huh.
And they had some friends who were musicians just across the street. They became friends with a couple.
Where did you grow up?
In Norwalk, California.
Okay.
And they were professional musicians, touring musicians, recording records. And they had a going away party for their tour.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and so they had people come up and just jam. And I got up and sang, and everyone was like, she really can sing.
Whoa.
And my mom was like, I thought she was had a good voice, but we didn't really take it. I mean, I've been recording her just, you know, kind of as fun because she likes to do her thing in the living room. But
so you were at 9?
We didn't take it serious. I was 9.
Okay.
And they really encouraged my parents to go in and cut a demo tape, get some headshots, and just start pounding the pavement in Hollywood.
Okay.
And so, again, my parents had no clue what they were doing, but my dad was like, if this is what you want to do, that's what we'll do. So he went around to different bands. You know, we would do...
to see if they wanted a 9-year-old singer?
Because I started in country music, so there was all kinds of, like, hoedowns and things like that. My dad would just go up and ask the band, my daughter wants to sing with you.
Okay.
And I'll pay you $500. And if you don't like her, you can keep the $500. If you like her, let's talk about how we can work something out.
Was your dad a businessman? That's very savvy
Not
of him.
Not really.
Okay.
He was a good negotiator.
Yeah. There was an inner agent in him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my dad was just a survivor,
okay.
you know. I mean, that was my stepdad, and he had been in the military, and, you know, and just, I mean, he came from a small town in Nebraska, and he just was, you know, a survivor, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, he, again, didn't know what he was doing, but... Money talks, at least to start, the interest. And he goes, you know, I never had to pay somebody. I always got my $500 back because we got lucky. A lot of those bands were like, well, she needs to come to this next gig.
Wow.
She needs to come here. I mean, this is extraordinary. Like, she sounds like she's 30 years old. It's a little weird, but she's this little person, you know? And
were you just a good mimic? Like, you could sing in any style? And
well, I was singing country, and I only knew about 8 songs, but I just had this big, you know, voice.
Okay.
And it really, people would just stop and be drawn to the stage. Uh-huh. And it really wasn't me. It was my voice. I mean, at that time, I didn't even really talk.
Right.
I was like, just let me sing to you. Yeah. You know, and that's how we started.
Okay.
And from that point on, it was word of mouth and getting pointed in this direction and then just building contacts. So very old school.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I mean, then how did the rest progress? How did you end up with this huge album at 16?
Well, we had recorded some demos already. Uh-huh. We went to Nashville when I was 10 to try to get a record deal. And a lot of people were like, you know, you're 10, first of all. But you do have the voice.
Right.
We just don't know what to do with
you. Yeah, there's no Disney Channel back
there's
then.
There's no Disney Channel. Country music was pretty heavy with lyrics.
Uh-huh.
So there wasn't a lot of material for me to even sing.
Yeah.
And they just didn't know how to market me. So, you know, we were told, go back to L.A., come back when she's like 18.
Uh-huh.
And maybe there'll be something there. But by that time, I was bitten by the bug and wanted to sing. And my parents had, you know, kind of gotten this momentum. They invested money. Uh-huh. And they kind of thought they were little pros a little bit. So, you know, we just kept it going. And we went into a studio in Burbank, California, mm-hmm. cutting another demo tape.
Okay.
To take it to the next level, send out again.
Was anyone working with you at this point? Did you have any representation?
Well, I'd had a few managers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, I think everybody kind of hit a brick wall because of my age.
Right.
There was only so much you could do. I could be in a bar and sing like one or two songs, but I couldn't stay in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, she comes in through the back door, she sings 2 songs, and then she's gone.
Yeah.
And you don't really know, again, how to market that.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really a place for me.
Uh-huh.
So everyone kind of would say, you know, again, if you were 18, I could take this somewhere.
Mm.
But right now, you know, you're 12 at this point, and I don't really know where to go.
Uh-huh.
So, they just would kind of say, you know, we wish you the best, but this just isn't working out. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's
come back to us in 4 years.
Come back to us when you're, exactly.
So we
were in Burbank, California, recording another demo, and that's when George Tobin, who, that was his studio, came down the stairs and heard my voice and pulled me to the side and pulled my mom to the side and said, she needs to be doing pop music. Does
so
she know
it was still
Beatles?
Country then.
I was singing country. Yeah.
Okay.
And he had me in the lobby singing the Beatles and just checking out what I knew.
Yeah.
Just checking out my range and you know, playing a guitar and just, and I thought, who is this strange man? But okay. And again, my mom was like, oh, okay, you know. And he goes, I'm the owner of the studio, and she really does have a good voice, but country is not where she needs to be. She needs to be in pop music. And my mom was like, oh, I don't know about that. Because they were true country fans.
Okay.
So that was like, I don't know about that. And he started talking to them, calling them at home, and kind of bugging them a little bit.
Okay.
And then that's how it all started. So he won them over. And
okay.
I started recording in the studio with him. And eventually we signed a deal.
What kind of stuff were you recording?
You know, it was kind of a blend.
Okay.
Because my family kind of stuck to their guns a little bit. And my cousin had influenced me with more like Stevie Nicks and Heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard myself as being like a little bit of a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't going to sing country, I was like, oh, like maybe like Fleetwood Mac kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we did some stuff kind of like Maria McKee, you know, kind of a blend between country and pop and with a little bit of a rock flair and some growl in my voice. And that seemed to really appease my parents for a second.
Yeah.
But I don't think that George was happy with what we were getting.
Okay.
And then he brought in, I think we're alone now.
There you go. Now, okay.
Game changer.
Yeah. But what was your childhood like in terms of when all this was happening before you really broke? Were you going to school regularly? Did you have friends?
Yeah.
Were you having like a normal childhood?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever that means. But I mean, because now we'll compare it to what happened after that album came out. But up until that point, what was your daily life like?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was going to school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always singing on the weekends.
Right.
Taking my girlfriends with me. Because I was, like, singing at the fair or okay. singing again at hoedowns yeah. or barbecues uh-huh. or, you know, wherever. So my girlfriends would come with me. Most people knew that I was a singer.
Okay.
But, you know, it was just fun. I mean, you'd go and do, like, a song and show up and there'd be a band there and... You were doing standards, so you didn't have to do a rehearsal or anything okay. like that. And just tell them the key that you're singing. And I would do like 30 minutes, and then we would just run off and go and play or go okay. check out guys. You know, normal yeah. teenage stuff. Uh-huh. And then go back home and, you know, go back to school.
Right.
So okay. it was fairly normal. My dad had a business, and mm-hmm. he ran his business, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. But I think that everything was... about the next weekend or the next gig, and my right. mom would sew my costumes. And
okay.
So there was a lot of effort into the music world.
Got it. And were you thinking, wow, maybe this is going to be the thing, and I'm going to be big, and I won't have to go to college, and I won't have to get a real job? I mean, how far ahead were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking at all. I mean, yeah. I just knew I wanted to do it. I knew that it felt magical to be up on stage, right. and I knew that... You know, I love people and meeting people, and it just felt right.
Yeah.
You know, it was easy. Uh-huh. I think, you know, maybe sometimes at home there was that awkward thing when you're growing up and your mom doesn't listen to you. And mm-hmm. my parents had a lot of problems. So, you know, there was turmoil at home. And mm-hmm. but when I got up on stage, it was kind of like quiet. Mm. Even though it wasn't, for me, it was
internally.
Like... Okay, yeah. This is easy.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I still do. So
yeah.
It's my escape in a really weird way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just watched this documentary about Juliette Lewis. Mm-hmm. She's like a real rock and roller.
Yes.
And she was saying that ideally your job, whatever it is, if it's your art, whatever, should feel like a release.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of artists relate
to. I mean, if
to.
You can do that and that's where you're at, I think that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Not too many people... can say that, but it should be like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that. Definitely. Then you know you've hit the sweet spot.
Then you know yeah. you're doing, you're on the right it. Path.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're doing something that you're meant to be doing.
Yeah.
You know?
So that the first album came out in 87, right?
Yes. Sure.
I'm terrible with dates. It was 87. You were 16. How old were you when it came out?
I recorded it when I was 14,
okay.
and it came out right before my 16th birthday.
Okay.
So I was 15 when it was released.
Yeah.
And I started doing the mall tour, and then I turned 16. And by that time, everything was exploding.
Yeah. Then it went bonkers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, do you remember the first time you found out you were number one on the charts? Like, do you remember any particular moments where it sunk in that this was happening to you?
Well, when I heard it on the radio a lot, which was really cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, you'd be like driving. I mean, I got my first car, and then I would be driving with, you know, somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And then we turned the station, and there it was.
There you were.
It's like, yay! You know? That's an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the first time that I got the phone call that I had a number one record,
mm-hmm.
I was doing chores at home and washing dishes, and my mom was coming home, and I still was like a normal kid. I had chores to do.
Yeah.
So by that time, my parents had actually split up.
Okay.
My stepfather and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and I lived in a small little apartment, and my sister was with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mom was, she had a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was like, there was a lot of real going on.
Yeah.
And I had chores to do. And, you know, I was in the studio recording, and when I came home, I had chores to do, and then I had to go to school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my producer called me, my manager called me, and he was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing my chores. He goes, well, you're not going to have to do dishes for very long in your life because you just have a number one record. And I was like, cool. And he was like, I don't think you understand what's going on here. And I said, exactly. Well, I understand if I don't get this done. I'm not going to be able to do anything because, you know, Janie doesn't play. Oh, so man. I have to hang up now. Was thrilled. But again, I don't know. I knew that was big.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
You're still living your life.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know, like, how sacred that is.
Yeah.
You know? Right. It's a different thing. Now, as an artist and 30 years in, I know how special that is.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was really important, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And that meant we had, you know, achieved something.
Right.
And we were now playing the game. But yeah, I didn't really know how. It took a while until I started looking at people that I loved who've inspired me and realized they've never had a number one record.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people are iconic. I mean, they're legends. Right. And you're like, how could that be?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is a little mind blowing when you start to put that all into perspective.
Right. And so what was the mall tour exactly? What did that entail?
The mall tour was, again, they, you know, once I signed at 14, we started to work some music. Right away, I went out with some of the songs that we had recorded.
Yeah.
We were still doing the album. Uh-huh. But, you know, we were kind of testing some of the songs. And I was going to clubs on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
Doing really, really well with the music. But again, I'm 14, 15.
Right.
I can't hang in the club. The audience is older.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't a connection.
Uh-huh.
And no one knew how to market me.
Yeah.
So the album was going to get shelved before it was even finished because it was like the big sit down of, look, this isn't working. The music is great.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know. Don't know how to, where to put her.
Yeah.
You know, she's too young to be in clubs. And we could do a video and all of that, but everything is an older crowd for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my A&R guy, Larry Salters, was just walking around one day thinking, you know, I really believe in this project. She's got a great voice. You know, this is kind of like my baby, and I don't want to see it fail. How do I save this project? And he was in a mall. And he looked around and he was like, there's kids in a mall. There are things in malls. Like, there are shows in malls. There are fashion shows in malls. There are hair shows in malls. Why don't we have her sing in a mall?
So were you one of the first to do that?
I was.
Thing?
Yeah,
were
to my knowledge, yeah.
First to
I
do, like,
believe
a tour
I was.
Like that? Okay.
Yeah, I believe I was the first one to do a mall tour.
That's
do
crazy.
Music.
Yeah.
Because, again, I mean, they have hair shows at malls, and they would have fashion shows and pageants and things like that. But actual music where you could just come and at first it was awkward. We did a lot of
malls.
Yeah,
so how does it work? They set up a stage?
They would set up a stage, and usually they would do it sometimes. I mean, it took a while before we got it perfected.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the beginning, they'd set it up next to, like, a jewelry store, which is not the right place for me.
And where's the right place for you?
And the jeweler wouldn't even know that we were coming. So, I mean, right in front of the store.
They're like, what the hell?
And with this loud music, and I'm, like, dancing, and they're like, we want this shut down now.
They're like, put her in the food
there
court.
There are people shopping here for engagement rings. Yeah. Like, they don't want this, you know. So, and then they put me in front of a lot of different places that, you know, the retailers would go crazy.
Yeah. Where were they advertising it? Do you know?
Well, at first we didn't really start with advertising.
Yeah.
They just plopped me in a mall.
Okay.
And people would walk by. I mean, there'd be like chairs, like three rows of chairs. And there would be like a lot of older ladies that would sit down because
they were tired.
Christine. And then all of a sudden, boom, there I'd be. I think we're alone now. And they'd be like, oh, you're too loud. I mean, they would yell and forget, disgusted, and walk away.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the first couple mall tours, I actually cried.
Really?
Because someone yelled at me and, like, you know, it didn't go very well in the beginning.
Yeah.
But as a kid, you're resilient, and it didn't stop me. I went and had pizza and came back.
There you go.
Right back up on stage, you know.
Did a little shopping.
Yeah, did a little shopping. And then I think it was like, you know, radio started embracing the record.
Okay.
And then they started talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, she's at the mall. That's how they're working this record. Okay. And da da da. And then
so
the news
kind of
started.
Dovetailed.
Yeah.
And then as the songs got bigger on the radio, more people started coming out
the
to
media.
The mall.
It was all media driven. I mean, yeah. People were just like, she's at a mall singing. Like, you can go and see her for free.
Yeah.
And I think it was hand in hand. I think the song was doing really well, but I think the mall tour started to make the song do really, really well. Mm-hmm. And it was just, they complemented each other.
Yeah.
And you had, like, you know, this perfect element and
right.
this perfect avenue to really promote a young artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the right audience.
Right. And so did droves of teenagers start coming out
they
by
did.
The end?
They did. I mean, it was...
Did it get to be a mob scene? Did it?
Yeah, it was sad because eventually, you know, it wasn't safe. You saw a lot
yeah.
of people, like, they would put, like, barricades, and then people would be crushed up against the barricades.
It got crazy.
I would stop singing and say, okay, everybody move back. But that's hard to say move back when they're all the way almost to the parking lot. So... I mean, we shut the mall down.
Oh my God.
And I'm sure that was annoying, as you know, for other people
yeah.
as well, trying to shop. So it had outgrown the malls.
Yeah.
Which is a great place to be.
Totally.
It's an awesome place.
It's crazy
place
that
to
you
be.
Started that phenomenon, though. I mean, because I was born in 82, and I have very early memories of, you know, like my favorite shows, like the cast of 90210. You'd see them being chased through the malls. You
right.
know, it became like very standard for teen heartthrobs to do that.
Yes.
That's crazy to think that you kicked that off.
Well, that's where, you know, that's where I hung out.
Yeah.
It made so much sense because, again, that's where I hung out. With my girlfriends, we used to go to the mall and just share like a little packet of fries
mm-hmm.
and walk around and
yeah.
look at clothing that we couldn't afford
uh-huh.
and listen to go in the record store back
yes.
then it was records and just look at all like you know read the back of an album
yeah.
and read all the liner notes and
yep.
just kind of be there
yeah you
was
never
a
had
cool
to buy anything.
Place to be you
yeah.
know and then go check out guys of course and then you know just I mean just walk around that was a whole day
yeah
that was the place to be.
But then by the end of that tour you probably could not walk into a mall anymore undisturbed.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the end of that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Even now when I walk through a mall, people are like, double take.
Yeah.
I was just buying shoes, oh gosh, a couple of weeks ago maybe,
mm-hmm.
and a lady was standing next to me and she goes, are you Tiffany?
Oh my God.
I go, yes, I'm in a mall. Imagine that. And she goes, I know this is exciting, isn't it? I'm with Tiffany in a mall. I go, yeah, girl, I have a mean shopping problem, okay?
That's hilarious.
That's what the mall tour did to me. I'm a shopaholic. It is not funny.
Do you feel like you're living a double life sometimes when you're at home in Nashville?
And well,
like,
I forget.
You're like normal Tiffany person,
yeah.
but then people will be like, oh, you're Tiffany.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's always Tiffany, or Tiffany the singer.
Right, Tiffany
yes.
the singer.
Tiffany, or Tiffany the singer.
Uh-huh.
But no, I do. I really do forget. I'm kind of a nature head. I like to like just relax
yeah.
and be with, you know, no shoes on and
uh-huh.
my hair in a tousled ponytail and no makeup,
uh-huh.
and, you know, which is probably not flattering sometimes, but I just like to be on the down low.
Totally.
You know, I'm very comfortable with who I am and very, again, grateful
yeah.
that I can go and, you know, be all glamorized and makeup and hair. People come in and you're like, mm-hmm. woo! This is, I like this, but I don't want the, you know, obligation of having to do that every day.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot. So, you know, at home, I'm more earthy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very like zen and I'm like, come on in. And I think I forget that and I go out in public.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I try to look okay, but, you know, I go out and people are like, oh, you're Tiffany. And I'm like, oh no, I'm just out here buying groceries.
Oh,
that's what I'm doing.
And then are you like seeing your like seeing them seeing you through their eyes? Like, oh, what is this moment
yeah.
like for them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different. I mean, I never shy away. I you know, even if I'm like, oh yeah, no, I was just gonna go and barbecue. So but if you want to take
so we
a
can
picture,
have this moment.
There's a backstory.
Yeah.
Okay? Me
that's
and my
nice
chicken have to be in the shot,
yeah, there you
okay?
go.
This is my purpose today.
And then they can say, I saw Tiffany and her chicken.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how crazy steeped in that teen celebrity 80s culture were you at its height? Like, were you palling around with other young 80s stars?
Well, I did a little bit. Yeah. But I think I was always afraid of getting too caught up.
Okay.
And I think that...
That's very mature of you.
And my manager also didn't really... You know, okay, he really discouraged a lot of that stuff. People were watching that. Mm-hmm. I think also because maybe in my own weird thing that I have,
yeah.
I didn't come from money.
Right.
So a lot of Hollywood people are sons and daughters of, you know, professional people or already, you know, known names. Mm-hmm. And so they've been raised a certain way.
Okay.
Like there's an elite factor there.
Yeah.
And I didn't really come from that.
Okay.
So I always felt like an outsider.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You probably were invited to parties all the time.
I was. Yeah. And sometimes it was way over my head, to be honest with you. I was like, I'm going to get into so much trouble if I stay here. There is a lot going on. And I think I knew enough about myself that, you know, I'm not, you know, above doing any of that kind of stuff. And that was really not in my heart.
Yeah.
It kind of scared me. But, I mean, it's a fast-paced life. You know, you're there and there's, like, drugs and there's sex and there's people and there's, you know, I mean, it's you're exposed to it.
Yeah.
And I definitely was like, oh, wow, you know. And then other celebrities would walk in the door and you'd be like, oh, my.
Like, who for you in that time was like, oh, now I might get to meet so-and-so?
Well, I mean, definitely. There was tons of people I wanted.
Like
I wanted,
the Corys?
I wanted to meet, like, Eddie Van Halen.
Okay.
No, I was going straight to the rockers. Yes.
You're not interested in those cheesy movie heartthrobs.
Yeah, Rob Lowe was awesome.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I almost had a chance to go on a date with him.
Yeah,
and,
what happened?
And I introduced my aunt, which was a total blow it.
Uh-oh.
And he just went, like, away. I was like, oh, where'd he go?
Aw. I thought you were going to say your aunt went out with Rob Lowe.
No, no. There was none of that. But she was my guardian, and she was sitting there. And it was awkward because I didn't want to introduce her.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that I was being rude. But I was like, that's just a total blow it, right? Hi, Rob. This is my aunt.
Aww.
Like, and, you know, my ride home. So yeah. I'm going to be really cool. And finally, I held out till I couldn't hold out anymore. And then I introduced him. And he just kind of, you know, again, kind of went away a little bit. I thought, see, you can't bring in parents or aunts. Or...
Did you have any celebrity boyfriends?
Well, I had one. Yeah. I had John Knight from The New Kids. I actually never wanted to date other celebrities.
Yeah.
Again, I think that was my biggest thing is that, you know, they looked amazing and everything, but I just wasn't sure any of that worked.
Yeah.
Two big personalities together.
It doesn't usually full work. Full time.
It doesn't usually work. Yeah. You know, I always knew I wanted to have real love and have a family, and I am one of those girls, you know. So for me, I was not really like the fame aspect.
Yeah.
Like if I date him, I'll be more famous or
right.
I'll go different places. I was always like, well, I'm doing that on my own.
Yeah.
I don't really need somebody to do that.
Right.
You know, and I think I accepted a lot of celebrities at face value.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, do you really think they're going to be faithful to you? No. And so then I'm going to be in jail because it's going to be bad because I am a redhead at the end of the day.
Justice will be served.
Yeah, you know, and I really didn't want to be like somebody's flavor of the week kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I just kind of thought, well, a lot of these guys are out living their life.
Yeah.
They have women, you know, thrown at them all the time. And
right.
It's nothing towards you. It's just the lifestyle. So if you get into that, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but it's not everyone. But
who wasn't a celebrity? Like, how did you then dip your toes back into normal life?
Well, I had a lot of just normal boyfriends.
Okay.
You know.
And friends, too. Like, friends. You were able to maintain that
I didn't
world.
Date a lot.
Yeah.
I really didn't date a lot. Sure. I mean, I had my first boyfriend when I was 14, right when I was recording the record. And he was my boyfriend until I met John.
Really?
What
happened with the New Kids? Did you book them to open for you?
They actually came backstage.
Okay.
And I was already on the road and doing, you know, a big tour.
Yeah.
And my manager and I couldn't agree on an opening act. Uh-huh. He kept saying a magician. He kept saying a comedian. And I was like, these are really dorky things you're throwing out there. And so we just couldn't find the right person.
Okay.
So I had no one. And I thought, that's terrible. Because I could hear, you know, they play like some music and everything. But the girls would just really sit out there. I mean, there was guys that came to see me, but it was primarily girls.
Yeah.
And they would just sit out there. And then I would come out. And I thought, oh, that's not really the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And we had talked about it so much. And it was like, we just didn't know how to solve the problem. My agent brought new kids in. And it was myself and my girlfriend who was my best friend. And she would travel with me in the summer and do my clothes and just generally hang out with me. And we were having lunch backstage after soundcheck. And he said, I want you to meet. I just signed them. And they've got a record and they're doing pretty, you know, pretty well. But, you know, they've done some shows. You know, I just really want you to see them. I think they might be a good fit for you. And they came in and they sang. And
so this is when they were really young still.
I mean, they were just starting. Really.
They just had that first album out.
They just had that first album out.
So they were still just kids from Boston.
I mean, they played a boombox in my, like, you know, like, and just danced around.
Set the scene for you.
And did their whole thing. And my friend Sunita and I, we were like, hot, hot, hot. I mean, because we're girls. And they were adorable. And their songs were great. And I said, well, why don't they go on tonight? I don't have an opening act. If they want to do it, let them try it. Well, no. And as soon as I heard the girls out there screaming, I was like, I have done a good thing. And I just, I got it. You know, I was like, this is going to work out perfectly. Well, the next day I got a call from my manager who freaked out on me. He was like, you don't understand. You don't make these decisions. These are like, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, money involved, and now you've said yes to putting people on the road with you, and you know there's a whole other bag of tricks here that you don't know. And I said, but it works. Like, you should have been here. Like, all these girls were screaming and it works. And so, I mean, I got into trouble, but we did it anyway, and it worked.
And it works. You got the last laugh on that one, and you got a boyfriend out of it. So
I did.
It's a win-win for everybody involved. Man, so then, I mean, gosh, I could keep you here for hours and hours, but I know that I can't. So I guess to just kind of cover all the ground that we won't have time to really delve into today, you know, your new album, your voice sounds very much like you, and it's been very consistent over the years, which is always a relief when you hear an artist, you know, and you're like, oh, they've taken care of themselves, and they sound amazing. But how would you say that you've changed as an artist between that young Tiffany and that artist today, even if the voice is the same? Like, how do you feel different as an artist?
I think I'm just comfortable with being me,
whatever
that is, you know? I mean, there's times I look at other people and I go, oh, one day I'll be so, one day I'll grow up. you know, I'm really that girl that we try for all the fabulous, you know, but I'm somehow the car door is going to get, you know, my dress is going to get stuck in it, or there's going to be toilet paper on my shoe, or some drama, I'm going to fall down the carpet. Something is going to happen. It's just always like that. And I think instead of crying and being so, you know, I just can't recover from that, I'm now, I just think it's funny. I just embrace it, and I'm like, oh yeah, who did I think I was? Of course it's got to be like that. It's annoying sometimes, but, you know, I have a really sick sense of humor. I have a lot of friends around me and people that I work with. We just have fun. And I think now when I show up to my shows, definitely I'm professional, but you're going to get a wild ride. You're going to get, you know, me talking about my day. You're going to get me talking about songs. And if something goes wrong behind the scenes, I'm going to let you know about it. I mean, there's times that I'll say something. I just did The Cutting Room in New York. And I, with all of these intimate evening shows, which I'm doing now for A Million Miles, the record, I want every show to be kind of tailor-made for that show. So we'll do the record, but we'll also do stuff from the past. So you never know what's going to come. You know, and I'm kind of pulling back from the archives, and I pulled out a song, Hold an Old Friend's Hand, which I used to do all the time. Uh-huh. But I haven't in so many years.
Yeah.
And so I had a little cheat sheet of all my lyrics. Uh-huh. And I had so much in my head, because as you're going and promoting, you're just going from here to there. And after a while, you can't remember everything.
Sure.
And of course, the day before, I go, I'm just not retaining this song. Mm-hmm. And I knew it like the back of my hand. This mm-hmm. is crazy. But I'm going to have a cheat sheet just in case.
Yeah.
And I started off to sing it. And I told everybody, here's a cheat sheet. Just saying, so if I need to go to it, I know it's here.
Yeah.
You know it's there. We're all good. And finally, I sat down at the end of the stage, and I started another year. And we started off wrong already. And I just handed it to a fan. I go, you need to hold that. And they were like, you're really funny. Like, you just, like, you know, designate what's going to happen. But you're very honest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, for me, that's, to me, it's not a bad thing. There's mm-hmm. some people that would really be freaked out by that yeah. you show that you failed or that you don't have everything right. But for me, I'm like, oh, it is what it is. I mean, as long as I would freak out if I couldn't sing.
Right.
When I don't feel good vocally, mm-hmm. if you want to see me freak out, that's because I'm like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
So when I'm not feeling well, uh-huh. I'm actually pretty quiet, and people go, are you okay? And I'm like, not really.
Yeah.
No, my voice isn't feeling. And thank goodness it's not, you know, too often. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you get tired.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, those notes are really high. Why did I write such a high song?
But it sounds like that sense of humor helps you ride through all of that.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, I have a great band.
Yeah.
My husband's awesome, and you know, and I just sometimes I just kind of go, okay, God, you got me into this, you gave me the talent, you made the plan, so I'm just gonna ride the wave, and I'm very grateful to do that. But I don't have all the answers,
yeah,
you know, I can only get up and do my best. And
life would be boring if we had all the answers,
kind of. I mean, you know, sometimes I think, though, you know, again, when you're trying to be professional and work mm-hmm. something, people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that you don't have the answers, you know, and they need answers, and they right. need them fast.
Yeah.
So there's a difference in real life and mm-hmm. business.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get really caught up in that. It can get, like, really crazy.
Yeah.
But again, that's where I have really good people around me. And
there you go.
You know, we just, I think the biggest thing is trying to enjoy what you're doing
yeah.
and also be the best
right.
at what you do.
Mm-hmm. Not what other people do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, for you.
Yeah.
Which is a hard job. That's right. Enough.
Yes, enough. Lastly, one of our editors wanted me to ask you what your favorite five songs of yours are.
Oh.
Or the five songs you enjoy performing the most of yours.
Of mine?
Yeah, of yours.
Well, A Million Miles mm-hmm. off the new album mm-hmm. could have been.
Okay.
I would have to say probably All This Time.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to stick with a lot of the ballads.
Okay.
I think We're Alone Now.
Yeah. What is your relationship with that song now?
Well, as soon as I go, children be, people go, ah, you know.
So and that must feel good still, right?
It does.
Yeah.
There's something about that song that really makes people feel good.
Yeah.
It's a happy song.
Did you ever go through a moment of, I don't want to sing that song anymore?
I've never went through that moment at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it served you well.
Yeah. And I'm very, again, grateful that I don't have that, I think We're Alone Now. You know, I mean, there's times I'm like, okay, I'll do that. But, you know, sometimes when you're doing a TV show or something, they're like, we only want I Think We're Alone Now. And I'm like, well, we have to do something new, though, because people aren't going to know I'm doing anything new.
Right.
So I'll give you a little bit of it. A
spoonful of sugar.
Because they get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to fight to, like, get something new
on the
books.
Move them on to the next thing, yeah.
But, you know, I'm never running away from it.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good.
And the last one. The last one, probably Oh Betty, a song called Oh Betty
okay.
from The Color of Silence.
Nice.
Yeah, I really love that. And I just did it, and I got through that one. I remembered all the lyrics.
There you go. All right, so the album is A Million Miles.
Yes.
It is out. It is everywhere to be purchased.
It is out and everywhere. You can also go to tiffanytunes.com. That tells you about all the ways you can purchase the album, but it's on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, yada, yada, yada. And the biggest thing for me mm-hmm. is to say, you know, come and see me live.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you're touring.
You know, so. Definitely go get the album, but, you know, I'm touring. And so if you go to tiffanytunes.com, that'll show you. And we're doing so many different types of venues, from retro stuff, like freestyle stuff. I'm doing a lot of these freestyle concerts with, like, myself and Taylor Dane and Exposé and Lisa, very cool, to, like, some 80s kind of stuff, to just, you know, my intimate evening stuff. And I'm popping in a club here and there.
Okay.
Just for some fun.
A little bit of something for everyone, whatever there you're looking
really
for.
There really is. I mean, you're always going to hear the hits, no matter where I go. And so you're never going to walk away disappointed.
Yeah. But you might be pleasantly surprised.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Tiffany, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's what they say.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.